Ruth the Moabite, welcomed, cared for, loved. Ruth the refugee, welcomed, cared for, loved. Ruth, God in motion. Boaz the Israelite, generous, caring, loving. Boaz the neighbour, generous, caring, loving. Boaz, God reflected. You and me, can the same be said of us? How do we welcome the stranger, the refuge seeker? Can we claim God in our reaction or our actions? Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all this morning. The order of service has a number of different intimations, which I'm really just going to leave you to read for yourselves. I'll keep you up to date on everything that's going on. We've had a couple of postcards, this time all the way from Pitlochry, the first one, enjoying a wonderful, relaxing few days in this gorgeous part of the world, some walking, then in brackets short, some eating, in brackets lots, some knitting, peaceful Pitlochry, perfect for happy, for poppy production. That's quite good, isn't it? Peaceful Pitlochry, perfect for poppy production. And that's from Ron and Marta Moody. So that's a lovely little postcard of the tea there. And we've had one electronic postcard from George and Daphne. If I'll quickly open that up, it should be here. And it's George on top of a hill. George on top of a hill. And my German translation was almost right, wasn't it, Graham? I wasn't very far wrong, but it's friendly greetings, with friendly greetings from Austria, it said. I thought it said friends, greetings from Austria. So I was close. But anyway, a lovely picture of George looking well and back walking up in hills and things, having a great time in Austria. So keep the postcards coming if you're still to go away. We've had quite a selection from all over the world, really, so far, and we'll try and get them mounted somewhere so folks can to see all the different places. Come, all who are lost, and be welcomed. Come, all who need a home and find a place to belong. Come, all who seek to be found, for there is no place God does not make us welcome. No place beyond the reach of love, nowhere God does not go to seek us out and there make a home in us. Come and worship the God of every place. We stand to sing hymn 202 in our hymn book. Stand up and bless the Lord.
Thank you.
We come now to God in prayer. Sovereign God, we praise you that you are able to do more than we can ever imagine. Where we can do so little, you can do so much. When we can do nothing, you can do everything. Teach us to believe that, not just with our heads, but in our hearts. When life seems dark, the future frightening, our problems insurmountable, and our resources to meet them all too few, we praise you that you are able to see us through. When life feels good, the days ahead full of promise, our worries are few, our joys many, we praise you that you are able to offer more still. When loving is hard, caring involves pain, sharing means sacrifice, and believing entails cost, we praise you that you are able to give us strength. When loving is easy, our relationships bring joy, our friends bring pleasure, and our faith brings rewards, we praise you that you are able to bring yet greater happiness. When hopes are dashed, dreams lie broken, visions have faded and plans are thwarted, we praise you that you are able to bring new purpose. When opportunities excite us, prospects beckon, possibilities unfold and challenges present themselves, we praise you that you are able to grasp them. Sovereign God, in these things and so many more, you are able not simply to meet our needs, but to transform our lives, able to bless us beyond words. Gracious God, you speak to us in all kinds of ways, through all kinds of people. Forgive us that sometimes we are closed to what you have to say. Forgive us that we avoid that which challenges, disturbs, or unsettles us, preferring to criticize and condemn rather than face the issues raised. Forgive us that we are swift to find fault with those we don't agree with, shutting our ears rather than listening to their point of view. Forgive us that we are often reluctant to accept new and unfamiliar ideas, taking refuge instead in what is tried and trusted. Forgive us that we can become so bogged down in what we think is right, so sure of our own convictions and set in our ways that we resent anything new. Forgive us that we sometimes go through the motions of faith, outwardly rich but inwardly barren. Gracious God, open our hearts this day to the living reality of Christ. Open our minds to the sweeping breath of your Holy Spirit. Open our souls to all that you would do and say. And so assured of your mercy and renewing power, help us to live truly as your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. This week, during the week, we've had some fun, haven't we, Fraser and Callum? Have we had lots of fun? We had our holiday club through in the hall every morning this last week. And we learned all kinds of things, didn't we? Can you remember the stories? Do you want to tell people the stories that we learned about? Can you remember what we started the week with? Yeah. What did we do at the beginning of the week?
God making the world.
God making the world, yes. Can you remember what we did on Tuesday? Yes, and we did David and Goliath, didn't we? Do you want to stand up and show everybody your Goliath? We made lots of giants. You pop that, just pop it one there. Oh. There we go. So we made lots of Goliaths, didn't we? And the hall was decorated with them. If you come in through the week, you'd have found a representation of all the young people that came to our holiday club hanging on the wall. Some more interesting than others. But this was you, wasn't it? You worked really hard finishing that off. It's taller than you, isn't he? There we go. So we did David and Goliath, and you remember what other stories we
Daniel
did?
Daniel in the lion's den.
Daniel in the lion's den. And then what did we do on Thursday? We had...
the story of Christmas.
We did the story of Christmas, and then on Friday we did the story of
Easter.
So we had a real whistle stop tour around the Bible this week, didn't we? We did lots of things. Have you got your lion there? We did lion faces for when we were in the den, didn't we? You see that one? That's a lion. Very good lion. Good lion. And what else did we do? We sang a song every day, didn't we?
Yeah.
And you really liked the song, didn't you? Didn't you? Oh, yeah. I'll come back to that in a minute. We sang this song every day, didn't we? The Showstopper song. And I thought it would be quite nice if we sang it with you. Not for you, but with you, because we'll need your voices to add to the singing. You should have the words inside your... Well, the words are not quite right. What's wrong?
Blitz. Music.
Oh, that's different. And that is... we'll sing with you. We'll just sing what's on the sheet. We'll do our best. Right, so we're going to sing the Showstopper song. I'll better switch this off because you don't want my voice. I'm going to grab the words. You can stand up if you like, because you're allowed to dance to this one. You're going to stand up, boys, and dance with... It's showtime. Stage lights ready to glow. It's showtime. Ready to start the show. It's showtime. Let's get ready to roll. Actions. Costume. Makeup. Action. Showstoppers. Curtain call. God has a plan for his wonderful world. God sent his son to... God has a plan, and together we sing our showstopper song to him. It's showtime, stage lights ready to glow. It's showtime, ready to start the show. It's showtime, let's get ready to go.
Lights!
Showstoppers, curtain call. God loves us all in his wonderful world. God hears our call in his world. God loves us all, and together we bring our showstopper song to him. It's showtime. Stage lights ready to go. It's showtime. Ready to start the show. It's showtime. Let's get ready to roll. Lights, music, makeup, action. Showstoppers, curtain call. And showstoppers, curtain call. Showstoppers, curtain call. Hey, well done. So we sang that song quite a lot during the week, and I have to say the words were slightly different to what's printed on your sheets, so if it didn't fit, that's because we had slightly different words. I'm not sure how that happened. Anyway, so we did creation, we did David and Goliath, we did Daniel in his den of lions, and then we did Christmas. And you were going to show me what we did for Christmas. We did some stained glass, didn't we? Coloured in some stained glass windows. So there we go. If I hold that up, yeah, there you see. So we've got Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus in stained glass. And we had them all hanging up in the window, and it was lovely seeing the sunshine through all of these stained glass windows. And then on Friday, we did the story of Easter, didn't we? And so we did more stained glass on Friday because we had coloured in some crosses. And again, when they were stuck up in the windows and light shining through, they were really lovely. Yeah, so lots and lots of... So we did a super, super week. So do you want to maybe say, Callum, what your favourite thing all week was?
Everybody had fun. Everybody had fun.
Everybody had fun. What about you, Fraser? What was your favourite thing?
Singing songs.
Singing songs. Oh, that's good to know, Alison, isn't it? That was good because you were really good. You all joined in and you all sang the songs beautifully. And I said to you on Friday what my favourite thing was. My favourite thing was the young people themselves because they were absolutely amazing. They worked really hard all week. They came in the morning and they got stuck into what was laid out for them to do. And then they joined in the singing and the dancing. And we had a show theme, stage stops. Showstoppers theme, and so every day we had an act that came and entertained us. We had Paul with his magic on Monday, didn't we? He was very good. I think our jaws were all a bit how's he doing that? Then Emily came and played for us on Tuesday, and that was great fun. And then on Wednesday we had a real pair of comedians. A real pair of comedians, didn't we? And then on Thursday we had some interpretive dance, I think is probably the best way to describe it, from the girls. And then on Friday we never really had a time to do this, the star turn, but we had lots and lots of fun. So hopefully we'll do it again next summer. And I'm just really grateful that you boys came along and had such a fantastic time. There is a display through in the hall. If you want to go through afterwards, you'll see some more of the crafts and things that they were doing during the week. And I'm sure if you catch any of the boys and ask them how they got on, and they'll answer your questions, won't you? Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to sing again. We'll go back to our hymn books this time. Thank you. Oh, right, okay. Did you want to say something, did you? Oh, thank you. That's really kind. There you go. Right, we're going to back to sing. Where are we singing? What are we singing now? Oh, we're going to sing 213 in our hymn books every new morning.
This morning's reading is the continuation with Ruth at chapter 3, which you'll find on page 261 of the Old Testament section of the Bible. Ruth finds a husband. Sometime later, Naomi said to Ruth, "I must find a husband for you so that you will have a home of your own. Remember that this man Boaz, whose women you have been working with, is our relative. Now listen, this evening he will be threshing the barley. So wash yourself, put on some perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go where he is threshing, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. Be sure to notice where he lies down, and after he falls asleep, go and lift the covers and lie down at his feet. He will tell you what to do." Ruth answered, "I will do everything you say." So Ruth went to the threshing place and did just what her mother-in-law had told her. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking, he was in a good mood. He went to the pile of barley and lay down to sleep. Ruth slipped over quietly, lifted the covers, and lay down at his feet. During the night, he woke up suddenly, turned over, and was surprised to find a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "It's Ruth, sir," she answered. "Because you are a close relative, you are responsible for taking care of me, so please marry me." "The Lord bless you," he said. "You are showing even greater family loyalty in what you are doing now than in what you did for your mother-in-law. You might have gone looking for a young man, either rich or poor, but you didn't. Now don't worry, Ruth. I will do everything you ask. As everyone in town knows, you are a fine woman. It is true that I am a close relative and am responsible for you, but there is a man who is a closer relative than I am. Stay here the rest of the night, and in the morning we will find out whether or not he will take responsibility for you. If so, well and good. If not, then I swear by the living Lord that I will take the responsibility. Now lie down and stay here till morning." So she lay down there at his feet, but she got up before it was light enough for her to be seen, because Boaz did not want anyone to know that she had been there. Boaz said to her, "Take off your cloak and spread it out here." She did, and he poured out nearly 20 kilograms of barley and helped her to lift it on her shoulder. Then she returned to the town with it. When she arrived home, her mother-in-law asked her, "How did you get on, my daughter?" Ruth told her everything that Boaz had done for her. She added, "He told me I must not come back to you empty-handed, so he gave me all this barley." Naomi said to her, "Now be patient, Ruth, until you see how this all turns out. Boaz will not rest today until he settles the matter." Here ends the lesson. May the Lord grant us understanding of these words.
Thank you, Dorothy. We sing again. This time our hymn is 191, "Do Not Be Afraid," hymn 191.
Thank you.
Boaz didn't stand a chance. Naomi and Ruth are proving to be a formidable pair, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, a strong bond between them and a determination to get what they want, or at very least, what they need. Both are widows and both thus reliant on others for their livelihood and survival. And Naomi has a plan. She has set her eyes on Boaz as Ruth's new husband. And thankfully, Ruth seems to be quite taken by him. Certainly, she puts up no fight as Naomi describes to her how to go about catching her man. This evening, she tells Ruth he will be threshing the barley. Go wash yourself, put on some perfume and your best clothes, and get on down there. But don't let him see you. Wait until he has eaten and had some wine. Then, when he falls asleep, go and uncover his feet and get in under the blanket and lie there. He will tell you what to do. And so the trap is set. Biblical linguists insist that there's some ambiguity about just what Ruth is uncovering when she lifts the covers. The word for feet is used elsewhere in the Bible as a euphemism for something else. Maybe it's the same use here. This makes Naomi's suggestion and Ruth's actions very bold indeed. And Boaz, well, he certainly is a little startled. Who are you, he asks. In his sleepy state, he doesn't immediately recognize Ruth, and Ruth takes her chance. Rather than wait to be told what to do by Boaz, she proposes to him by reminding him that she is a relative and he has some responsibility to look after her. Now, the Good News translation of the Bible that we have read does something rather interesting here. It translates this verse as, "Because you are a close relative, you are responsible for taking care of me, so please marry me." Other Bible translations are less explicit. The New International Version translates this verse, "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." And the New Revised Standard Version, often preferred by academics, simply translates it, "Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are next of kin." Taken together, we get the gist of what is meant. I am your relative. You have a responsibility to look after me. Marry me. The Hebrew word used for cloak in the original text is the same words as can be used for wings. I quite like that imagery, the protection Boaz prayed Ruth might find in chapter 2 and his blessing on her, she finds under his wing. The Lord's protection found with Boaz, the answer to Boaz's prayer can be found in himself. Of course, Ruth is not far off the mark with her assertion that Boaz has a responsibility for her. Scholars talk of two aspects of the law being present in this story. The first aspect is that of the Redeemer, and we found that word in the NIV translation. This is effectively where it is the responsibility of a kinsman to come to the aid of those left destitute or under attack in whatever manner. Boaz was introduced as a relative, and so it is quite within the acceptable customs of the time to expect that Boaz would undertake all he could to prevent his relatives falling destitute. We could say Boaz was obligated to carry out his duty. Perhaps what Naomi and Ruth were masterminding was not so much a seduction of any sort, but instead putting themselves in the right position for Boaz to be able to fulfill his responsibility. The second aspect of the law of the day present in this encounter is entitled levirate. This is the custom where a Jewish man was obliged to marry his brother's childless wife, should that brother die, in order not to leave the deceased brother childless. Boaz was not Naomi's husband's brother, but a near relative. She could call on him to ensure that the family continued through her. Because of her age, the only way this could happen was via Ruth. So maybe this is not so much trickery on the part of Naomi and Ruth after all. This is the careful telling of a story that gives the background of the law and presents the traditions of the day. Now, Boaz is quick to point out that there is another relative that is closer and that he needs to check with him first before accepting responsibility for Ruth and Naomi. If this other relative wants Ruth, then he must have first chance. And we'll find out next week how that all works out. But in the meantime, he tells Ruth to lie down and she spends the night at his feet under his cloak. And what happens that night on the threshing floor, room floor, we're not told. Some things are best left to mystery, as one commentator put it. Ruth leaves in the morning early so as not to be seen. And Boaz insists that she takes a generous measure of grain with her. He did not want her returning to Naomi empty-handed. This gesture is heavy with promise, the promise of what is to come, his generosity, his care, his seed. Naomi is pleased and advises Ruth now she needs to be patient. Her plan, if it is a plan, is coming together. And next week we'll find out how well Naomi's plan works out. This chapter of Ruth is a great wee story, a little naughty in bits. We can snigger at the euphemisms over feet. We can bestill our beating hearts at the obvious affection and attraction Boaz has for Ruth. We can admire Naomi's cunning and Ruth's boldness. But what can we learn from it that helps us in their story? Well, I think there are a few notable points of interest for us. To start with, there's the place of women in the Bible, and this story's juxtaposition within what was a patriarchal society. And then secondly, the idea of Boaz being the answer to his own prayer for Ruth. Let's begin with the place of women in the Bible and how this story fits within that. Within the Bible, women do feature, but nowhere near in the same ways and in the same quantity as men. According to the Bible Gateway website, there are 176 different women mentioned in the Bible. This is against 956 men who get a mention, with one or two where gender might be disputed. There are just two books in our Bible canon named after women, Esther and Ruth, and both are in the Old Testament. Biblical times were patriarchal times. So for the story of Ruth to feature in our Bibles is actually really quite special. And the story of Ruth and Naomi is, as one commentator put it, quite extraordinary. Not only were their voices heard, but Naomi and Ruth's actions move the story of God forward. They live in a world where women without husbands or other male relatives to care for them are vulnerable. And their story is an example of the resourcefulness of women despite a patriarchal system that intentionally works against them. Sadly, the patriarchy still works and exists within the church. I read a story this week about a young woman priest in the Church of England who was spat upon as she led a procession at the ordination of a new parish priest. At the same service, her male colleagues refused to share the peace with her, and she was not invited to sit with them, instead directed to sit with the new priest's mother. And the Church of Scotland can't smile smugly either. Only a few years ago, when on a visit to one particular presbytery, the planners of that visit could only find one church where the then moderator, the Right Reverend Lorna Hood, would be welcomed to preach. And I hear stories from female colleagues where they experience sexism and the patriarchy on a regular basis. Now, I'm grateful I've not experienced anything blatantly patriarchal in my ministry career, but I am aware of occasions where there's been an undercurrent of sexism. So for women within the church, Ruth's story is one that we can look to for encouragement. Here is a woman in a patriarchal society being used by God as his agent. But her story is not just for women. Ruth's story is one for us all. Through Ruth, God shows how he is on the side of the marginalized. God loves everyone. Ruth shows that it is important to honor the humanity of every person. No one should think too highly or even too lowly of themselves. In a world where family was everything, Ruth and Naomi showed that it is possible to form close bonds with people of different ages, nationalities, and religions. Theirs is a story where relationship is more important than cultural definitions that might otherwise have kept them apart. And their story was important enough to be included in the canon of the Bible. And I suspect that it's next week that we discover the real reason for that. The second notable point about Ruth's story I want to explore is the way that Boaz demonstrates that we can be the answer to our own prayers. Boaz in chapter 2 offers Ruth a blessing and a prayer. He said, "May the Lord reward you for what you have done. May you have a full reward from the Lord God of Israel, to whom you have come for protection." Boaz has been impressed not just by Ruth's physical beauty, but the beauty of her person. Boaz becomes the answer to his own prayer by being the one to offer her the protection that she needs. I often wonder how, if we recognise that we can be the answer to our own prayers, or indeed the answer to someone else's prayer. And I wonder too what we might expect to happen when we actually do pray. Years ago, just before I started my training for ministry, I was waiting for the results of my final Open University submission. A pass meant a degree and the opportunity to complete honours at Aberdeen University in 3 years instead of the usual four when I started there in the autumn. I was travelling back from Edinburgh, having been away, when Neil called to say that my results were in. He asked if I wanted him to open them, and I said no, that I would wait till I got home. I was nervous about the results, and truth be told, I hadn't spent enough time on my project and didn't expect to get a good mark. I spent the next 3 hours driving back from Edinburgh praying as I went that I would get a pass mark, the pass mark being 40. I arrived home, opened my envelope, and I got a mark of 41. I had passed, just. My prayers had been answered. Or had they? I'm not convinced that God was inside that envelope, rubbing out the mark I should have had and replacing it with the one that I wanted. I don't think that's how God works. God was working months earlier, helping me prioritize life to ensure that I gave my OU just enough, but not too much, that other things in my life suffered. My story is a bad illustration because it's the kind of story that says, ask and you will get. And all of us know that that's not the case. We have all prayed prayers we feel God has ignored. And that's hard. We question why God has ignored us. And I don't have an answer to offer you for that. Ruth's story is an illustration of how God works through people and how he uses people to answer prayer. And we all have the power to be the answer to another person's prayer. We all have the power to be the blessing in someone else's life. We will never know the full impact of our lives on those around us, and even on people we have never met. When we pray for the world, as we do shortly, we utter words asking God to help those who need help. But if we then do nothing, then all we have said are words, empty words. They tell God what is bothering us. What is it then we are meant to expect? What do we expect from God? Do we expect God to miraculously find homes for every homeless person? For God to put food in the mouths of every hungry person? For God to mend every broken heart? For God to heal every ill person, for God to bring his people together in peace. What is it we expect God to do? God will use others. He may even use us to be the agents of change. And human beings being human, well, that doesn't always work out the way we or even God wants it to work out. To be the answer to the prayers for the world is a big ask. And as humans, we are fallible. And not everyone out there is as kind as they could or should be. A few minutes spent on social media illustrates that. I look at the world and I wonder how we have become so selfish. How have we reached a point where the love of self is more important than the love of the other and the love of God? And it's easy to become despondent, to give up hoping for a better, fairer world, to give up on prayer even, when what we pray for seems further away than ever. And yet, in Boaz, we have an illustration of how we can be the agents of change. We can be the answer to our own prayers. If we want the world to be a little less selfish, then we need to be a little less selfish. If we want the world to be a better, fairer world, then we should act in the best interests of those we say we care about. If we walk the walk as well as talk the talk, we can make a difference. And each of us here has been the answer to prayer in some way or another. Of that, I am sure. Each time you have helped a friend, each time you've helped a stranger, each time you've put a tin in the food bank box at the back of the church or in the vestibule at Kirk Centre, each time you've bought something from the tradecraft stall, each time you've sent a cheque to a charity appeal, each time you've spent time with a friend, each time you've come here to church, each time you've smiled to a stranger in the street, each time you've spoken up for the marginalised and the oppressed, each time you have done something positive, you are a blessing and an answer to prayer. Ruth's story is one of a refugee and migrant, reliant on the kindness of others to get by. Boaz is her redeemer. He helps her and her life is transformed. Boaz's actions mirror those of God. But before we hear of Boaz's kindness, we hear of Ruth's own loyalty and kindness to Naomi. Last week I suggested that one of the beautiful themes in the book of Ruth is that Heshe, that Hebrew word, meets Heshe. That is that faithfulness engenders faithfulness and that kindness meets kindness. God used Ruth and Boaz, and God uses us. He uses us to both be an answer to prayer and to be a blessing in the world. Our lives can mirror the actions of God and give others a reflection of God's loving nature. In us, Heshe can meet Heshe. Faithfulness can engender faithfulness, and kindness can meet kindness. Amen. We continue to worship God, this time in our offering. Let us pray. Provider God, your generosity is boundless towards your creatures, and we thank you for it. We offer you our gifts today, our money as a sign and symbol of all that we offer to you, all that we are and all that we have. Take our money, our gifts, and use them for the work of your kingdom, here and now. Amen. We stand and sing together hymn 265, Pray for a World, hymn 265. Let's come to God again in prayer. Living God, we thank you that you are a God who hears and answers prayer. And we praise you for those times when you have responded to us and granted our requests. But we confess there are times too when you seem silent, when listen though we might, we cannot hear your voice. And so we pray now for all who cry to you, but who feel their prayers are unanswered. Lord, in your mercy, hear us and all who pray to you. We think of those known to us facing difficult times, battling with illness, wrestling with depression, anxious about the future, grieving for loved ones, those for whom life seems a puzzle, even a burden, and who long to find hope, to make some sense out of their confusion. We think of those who feel far from you, burdened by doubt, overwhelmed by temptation, crushed by failure, those who long to know you better, but who find it hard to get close, who seek to serve you, but who are weighed down by a sense of their weaknesses, their lack of faith, and their repeated mistakes. We think of those who seek guidance, who feel unsure of the way ahead, uncertain of their ability to face that future, unclear as to what you want from them or what plan you have for their lives. All who ask you to lead the way forward, yet who still have no clear sense of their particular calling. And we think of the poor and the weak, the vulnerable and disadvantaged in society, those denied their rights, their dignity, their freedom, their livelihoods, all who long for a time when justice will be established, but who have given up believing it ever shall be. Living God, we are conscious that so many in our world cry out to you, yet seem to receive no answer. Some because they do not expect to receive any, some because they are not ready or willing to listen, some because they do not understand what you are saying, but many genuinely and urgently longing to hear your voice, yearning for some response. Speak to them, we pray. Do not keep silent, but reach out into their pain and hurt, their need and hopelessness, and bring your word of comfort, of peace, of healing, love and renewal. Help us to know that we are and can be the answer to someone else's prayer and to find ways of doing so. Lord, in your mercy, hear us and all who pray to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, your word made flesh. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 200 in your hymn books. Christ has made the sure foundation, hymn 200. Here, knowing yourself to be part of the story that God weaves in love for all of God's people. Take your place as one of God's beloved children, Make room for others living a life of love and service in the family of God today, and go with his blessing today, tomorrow, and always.